Evening and welcome to our broadcast this evening from Rathfeilin Baptist Church. We do thank you for joining with us, and as ever we do look to the Lord to bless the reading and the preaching of his word this evening. We're coming to Acts chapter 17 tonight. Acts chapter 17, and we're going to read from verse number 30, please. Acts 17, and reading from the verse number 30. Remind the young people tonight that there's a Zoom meeting immediately after the gospel meeting at 8 p.m. And our brother Keith Lindsay will be the speaker tonight. So encourage all the young people to join that meeting via Zoom this evening. Acts chapter 17, and we're reading from the verse number 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. Among them was Dionysus, the Ophrygite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. And we do trust the Lord, as ever, will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, and inerrant and inspired word to our hearts this evening. Let's seek the Lord's help for our coming together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come to thee this evening as a needy people. We, Lord, realize that without Christ we can do nothing. We accept, Lord, and accept the Lord build the house, and they labor in vain that build it. And so, Lord, we're looking to thee tonight. We pray, Lord, that thy name will be uplifted and magnified. We thank you we have a great God, and one who's worthy to be praised. We thank the Lord for that great love that was demonstrated at Calvary. And Lord, we pray tonight as we seek to preach the gospel, that Christ will be exalted, that men and women and young people will be turned to Calvary tonight, and Lord, that they will realize they're sinners, and they can be saved by the marvelous, amazing, matchless grace of our Lord. So Lord, be with us this evening. Close us in with thyself. Lord, whether people are listening at home, in the car later on, wherever, whatever medium they tend to use, we just pray, Lord, that you will speak, and speak clearly, definitely, and personally. And we pray, Lord, again, that you would work in hearts as a result of this broadcast this evening. So, Lord, we leave it with thee, for it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday, the 10th of May, 2020, was to be the big announcement from our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. He was going to set out the exit strategy for England, how we're going to ever come out of this lockdown. I don't know whether you listened to it or not, but there were a lot of ifs, a lot of buts, and some people were saying after it they're more confused than ever. And then to make things even more confusing, Wales and Scotland have their own exit strategy. And not to be outdone, of course, Stormont published their exit strategy on Tuesday. And so there's a lot of strategies, a lot of exit strategies, and as I said already, sometimes perhaps a lot of confusion. We read in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And God certainly is not the author of confusion, and so we know that many of these things are not of the Lord. But there's no doubt that all of us would love to exit this lockdown period. I don't think it has been enjoyable for anyone. Jobs are at risk, churches can't meet, families are being kept apart. And of course, no one would want to endanger one person, one soul, and we must obey the government stipulations. But no doubt we all long for an exit. I think many of us are becoming experts in some of the terminology that's been used. We hear about flattening the curve, trying to make sure that the peak doesn't reach that extremities that some said it could reach. Another phrase that's been used recently is the R number. The R number. The R number signifies the average number of people that one infected person will pass the virus to. We hadn't a clue a few months ago about R numbers or anything like that, but certainly we've been educated in these recent times. As I thought about the R number, I thought about a more important R. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Are you redeemed tonight? Does that R mean anything to you this evening? And then when I thought about the number, I love that old hymn, when the saints go go marching in. Are you in that number? Are you redeemed? Are you in that number? Is that our number important to you this evening? But my question to you tonight is, what is your exit strategy? And of course, I'm not thinking about the lockdown. I'm thinking about life. When life comes to an end, what is your exit strategy? I'm not thinking about every day. I'm thinking about eternity. What's your exit strategy when you go into eternity? Some may say, well, it's my good works. Well, Paul said in Titus 3 verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Our works won't do it. And if that's your exit strategy this evening, you need a new strategy. Some might say, my family heritage. I've been born into a certain family. I'm a certain denomination. I've always been part of this. I can look back 3 or 4 generations. Well, Luke 3 verse 8, we're told, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. And the Jews are told, don't depend on your Jewish nationality. You need something more than that. Their good works, our family heritage. What about our religion? Well, one of the most religious men was a man called Nicodemus. You read about him in John chapter 3. You remember he came to Jesus by night. Do you remember what the Lord said to him? You must be born again. Nicodemus may have been depending on his religion, but the Lord Jesus says, you need a new exit strategy. You must be born again. All of us need an exit strategy. Romans 5 verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We're all sinners. We're born in sin. We're shaped in iniquity. We're all going to die someday. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. You need an exit strategy tonight, if you haven't got one. Or if your exit strategy falls short of what this old book, the Word of God, requires this evening. I want you to come to Acts chapter 17. Paul has travelled from Berea, some 200 miles south, to Athens. Athens was the most celebrated city in Greece. It was the academic centre of the world, well known for its literature, well known for its oratory, its sculpture, its architecture, its philosophy. It was the seat of the greatest university in the world at that time, named after the Greek goddess Athena. Athens was a pagan city. It was a place that had reached the heights of intellectual achievement, and yet they didn't know God. Isn't it so sad that men can be so clever and yet so stupid? That men can be so bright and yet fools. They can know so much, but they don't know the Lord. And when Paul came to this city, he looked through spiritual lenses. He wasn't taken up by the architecture or anything like that. He had come, verse 15 tells us, to Athens, and he was waiting for Timothy and Silas to join him. Look at verse 15. And they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus were to come to him with all speed, they departed. And for Paul, waiting time wasn't going to be wasting time. We have waiting time at the moment. There's things we cannot do. Don't waste your time. Use that time for the glory of God. Verse 16, and while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred within him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Everywhere around this city was idols. There were gods all over the place. They were on the hilltops, they were on the streets, they were in the homes. It is estimated there could have been as many as 30,000 gods worshipped in the city of Athens at that time. Someone said, it is easier to find a god in Athens than it was to find a man. They were here, they were there, they were everywhere. And they had all of these images and all of these gods. And yet, in spite of this, they still were searching for something. Something was missing. And they still had an emptiness in their lives. Verse 16 says, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred within him. Paul was distressed by this. He wasn't impressed by the architecture. He wasn't impressed by the wisdom. He was distressed by the fact that they worshipped idols. Look down to verse 22. Paul eventually comes here to Mars Hill, and here he's going to deliver a message. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. This wasn't an insult. Paul was really saying, you're so religious. I can see your devotion. You're certainly very religious people, but you're lost. Look at verse 23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. You know, they had so many gods, and just in case they had left one out, they had an unknown God just to keep themselves covered. Paul says he wants them to know the God that they don't know. This unknown God. And Paul's going to tell them about Jesus, the mighty to save. Thank God tonight that he can be known. John 17 verse 3, Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. As I said, they reached the heights of intellectual achievement, and yet they didn't know God. Not to know God is a dangerous position. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8, and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. To not know God is a dangerous position. God says there's going to be vengeance on God and will deal with sinners. Now, Paul summarizes things in verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. Paul's really saying idols are an insult to God. And then Paul begins to deliver what I would call the message, and maybe the summary of the message. And Paul is telling us here there needs, first of all, to be an acknowledgement of sin. You know, our government set out a five-step plan. If I was to set out a step plan for an exit strategy, well, here's step one to begin with. Look at verse number 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Here's a commandment. Now, God commandment. Yes, God has been gracious. He's put up with us. He put up with me for over 20 years as a Christ projector. How long has he put up with you? And God is a gracious God, but here is a commandment tonight. It's not a suggestion. It's not multiple choice. God is commanding you tonight. If you look up the chapter to verse 24, Paul reminds us who God is. God that made the world and all things therein, saying that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hand. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He has made all things, and he's the one that commands you tonight. And if one so mighty, one so powerful, one so majestic commands you tonight, I think you should listen. You see the command and the commandment, then you see the company. Look at verse 30. And this times of ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere. This is for all men everywhere. We may have a different exit strategy for England, for Wales, for Scotland, for Northern Ireland, for the United States, for other countries in Europe, for Sweden or wherever you happen to go. But there's no deviation here from God's commandment. This commandment is for all men everywhere. This commandment is for Refrailand, it's for Northern Ireland, it's for the island of Ireland, it's for the United Kingdom, it's for Europe, it's for the world, it's for you tonight. You see the commandment tonight, you see the company tonight, and then you see the cry. Verse 30 again, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Here's the message said, here's step one, repentance. You know, in order to repent, you have to acknowledge something. You have to acknowledge you're a sinner. And the word repent means to change your mind. And not only changing your mind, but a change of mind that leads to a new outlook in life. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You see, Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners. Jesus said in John 8:24, if ye shall die in your sins, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Later on he says, ye shall die in your sins, and whither I go ye cannot come. This is a serious matter to make. You're a sinner. And this sin is leading you to a Christless eternity in hell. Paul, preaching the gospel on one occasion, summarized it in Acts 20, verse 21. He said, repentance towards God. This is a turning from your sin and turning to God. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's step one this evening. You have to turn from your sin, realize you're a sinner, and look to Jesus Christ by faith. In Athens, they worship idols. As we read in verse 29, these idols of gold and silver and stone, these idols that were cold and personal and dead. And tonight I'm not pointing you to an idol, I'm pointing you to Jesus Christ who's alive. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus Christ loved you so much, he died on the cross to pay redemption's price. And he loves you, and he's not a dead idol tonight. He's not made of gold or stone or anything like that. He's alive and he's real. And if you want to be saved, if you want to have the Bible's exit strategy tonight, you need to acknowledge your sin tonight. You see the acknowledgement of sin, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And then you see an appointment to shun. Look at verse 31. Because, here's a good reason. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who hath him ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he raised him from the dead. Let me break this down. There's a time here. Because he hath appointed a day. During this lockdown, I'm sure, like me, you've had many appointments that have been cancelled, and your diary in many cases has been wiped clean. Some important, some not important. We had VA Day recently, a very important day historically for the United Kingdom. But you know, it was an empty celebration, and even that by and large was wiped off the calendar. Here's a day. Here's a date that cannot be wiped off the calendar. No virus will thwart this day. Sometimes that word appointed can be translated, he has set, he has fixed. It means to put something in a place of prominence. It was used of flowers in a flower arranging. If you set the flowers in a place of prominence, they're set. Something that is to be noticed. The Lord Jesus one time was speaking to his disciples about the kingdom of heaven, and he took a child and set the child in the midst of them. And again, the attention was focused on the child. And here, God wants your attention to be set on this time, on this day. He has appointed a day. Sometimes when a couple gets engaged, people will ask the question, have you set the date? That's the same word. And they'll send out the little card, save the date. God has set a date, set the time, set the day, this day of judgment. You need to be aware this evening that there's a time. And then there's a task, verse 31 again. Because he hath appointed in the time in which he will judge the world. There's a day set aside when sin is going to be judged and when sinners will be judged. Do you have an exit strategy tonight? You see, in Revelation 20, verse 12, we read about this day, and here's what John said, and I saw the dead. How could you see the dead? You see, death is not the end. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And here's those who have died, and they're standing before God. And the small are there, and the great is there. In July the 24th, 1974, President Nixon found out that he wasn't above the law. And there's no one can escape this day if they're still in their sin. And this judgment will be great, and everyone will be dealt with equally, because with the Lord there's no respecter of persons. Do you see the time? God has set the day. Do you see the task? He's going to judge the world. Do you see the truth? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. This is no unfair trial. This won't be an unjust trial. This won't be a kangaroo court. You see people able to get off scot-free who are as guilty as sin. And they get off on some technicality. That won't happen. Because he's going to judge the world in righteousness. Again in Revelation 20 verse 3, John tells us he judged every man according to their works. That's all you have if you don't know Jesus. And you'll be judged for every sin. Here's the sentence tonight. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. A place of eternal, conscious punishment. Do you have an exit strategy tonight? You see the time and the task and the truth. And you know, here's something terrifying tonight. Look again at verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men
in that he raised him from the dead. Look who the judge is going to be, the Lord Jesus Christ. That should scare the life out of you tonight. The one who went to Calvary, the one who died on the cross, the one who loved you so much, the one who has offered to save you over and over again and has pleaded to your heart, that same Jesus. And you have ignored the love of the Lamb, and you're going to face the wrath of the Lamb. You didn't want to meet Jesus as your Savior, and you're going to meet him as your judge. You see what Paul said at the end of verse 31, in that he raised him from the dead. You know, the resurrection of Christ, it assures us of eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. But you know, the fact that Christ is alive, it's a blessing to God's people. I'll tell you, it's a real wake-up call to those who are not saved tonight. Jesus is alive. This judge won't fall asleep. Donald Trump talks about sleepy Joe Biden. But this judge won't fall asleep. This judge won't need a day off in the sick. This judge won't be furloughed. This judge is alive. And you're going to face him if you die in your sins. And you'll be in hell for all eternity. You need an exit strategy tonight. Jesus says, I'm your exit strategy. I am the door, he says, by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Do you see the exit strategy tonight? Do you see the acknowledgement of sin in verse 30? You see the appointment to shun? You don't have to be there. You know, we have cancelled appointment after appointment. Here's an appointment for you, could be cancelled, because if you're not in your sin, if you're saved by the grace of God, you will never face Christ as your judge. Let me say lastly about the attitudes that are shown here. We're back in Acts chapter 17. Because I think you'll find your exit strategy here tonight. Look at verse 32 to begin with. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Here are some. And they said, as far as salvation is concerned, no day. They don't want an exit strategy. They don't need an exit strategy. They're not interested in an exit strategy, and they're saying, we don't want anything to do with this man. They just mocked. It's a diabolical reaction. It's a reaction from the devil tonight. Are you like that tonight? Oh, this is okay for granddad. This was okay for granny. This is okay for mum and dad. This is okay for some old people. That's how they were brought up. But I'm a new thinker. I know better. And you're going to mock. Danger strategy, isn't it? There were those who said, no day. Let's read on, verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of them. Here's another dangerous attitude. We will hear thee again of this matter. They didn't say no day, they said someday. Someday we'll come to Christ. Someday we'll acknowledge we're sinners. Someday we'll get saved, and then we'll be ready for heaven and home. That's their exit strategy. They're not saying no day, they're saying someday. I've known people who've said someday, and they never lived to see that day. Dangerous attitude. You see, there were those who said no day, there were those who said someday. Let's read on, verse 33. And Paul departed from among them, howbeit some men clave unto him and believed. There were those who heard Paul and realized that they were sinners, realized that God had appointed a day in which he will judge the world, realized that Christ loved them and died for them, and they reached out by their hands and they took hold of Christ by faith, and they believed and were saved, and they had an exit strategy. It meant no matter what happened, they would be in heaven with Christ for all eternity. Jesus said, if you'll come to him tonight, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you see the acknowledgement of sin? Do you see the appointment to shun? Do you see the attitude shown tonight? Labour leader Keir Starmer said of the government's strategy to ease the lockdown, he said it was already all unraveling within hours of it being announced. Others said it was confusing and they sent out mixed messages. I'm not being political tonight. I don't know whether that's right or not, but this is one thing I do know. God's not sending a mixed message tonight. God's not sending any confusion tonight. He says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son. Listen, there's amazing grace tonight that can save a wretch like you, and it saved a wretch like me. Here's what John Newton said, when we, speaking of heaven, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Hallelujah, what an exit strategy. And John Newton had the exit strategy. How did he get it? Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Will you come tonight? Will you be saved tonight? Will you take this exit strategy tonight? And you know, no matter what happens, if you die, you'll open your eyes in glory. What an exit strategy. And listen, when you've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, you've no less days to sing God's praise than when you first began. Take the exit strategy tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we haven't been left to our own devices. Thank you, Lord, we haven't been left to work out an exit strategy of our own. Thank you, Lord, for the clear instruction from the word of God. And Lord, we pray that you will speak into hearts tonight. And Lord, there'll be an acknowledgement of sin. There'll be a repentance tonight. That's what God commanded. And Lord, there'll be a realization there's an appointment, because God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world. But thank God tonight, if someone will come to Christ, they'll never stand before Christ and be judged for their sin. Lord, we pray for the right attitude tonight. Lord, we pray there'll be none saying no day. Lord, those who've been saying someday, Lord, will you speak to their hearts? But Lord, we pray above all there'll be those who will say today, and they'll come and seek the Lord. Lord, save souls tonight. For it's in and through your Saviour's precious name we pray.